There are certain groups of people who are very unpopular. They're not really well liked. I was looking up just to see who were at the top of the list there. And here are a few of them. I'm not sure what their exact title is now. The parking wardens, traffic wardens, they're not terribly popular. They see them around Hollywood all the time in their red uniforms. They have a job to do, but they're not particularly popular. Another ones are the immigration officers. People don't like them, particularly if you've ever travelled to America. They can be very intimidating. Another group of people who are voted as very unpopular are car salespeople, particularly second-hand car salesmen. And also very high up the list for some reason are estate agents. They're not particularly popular people. And you could probably add your own. You probably have your own people that you're not... You're not that keen on, they're hard to like at times. Well, in Jesus' time in Palestine, tax collectors were probably at the very top of people's list of folk not to like. They worked for the occupying Romans. They very often took too much, and they kept for themselves some of the money and then paid the Romans what they were due. Well, we're beginning a series today, which we're going to run right through the summer, called Encounters with Jesus. And today we're going to begin with one of the very best-known characters, I suppose, in the New Testament, known to us all since Sunday school days, and that's Zacchaeus. And, of course, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, not just any old tax collector, he's a chief tax collector. He worked for the Romans, he took taxes from people, gave them to the Roman government as the people had to pay, but kept some for himself. Very, very unpopular amongst the people. They would really have regarded the tax collectors as almost untouchables. They wanted very little to do with them. Let's read together from Luke chapter 19. Very familiar words. Luke chapter 19, we read from verse 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Now let's pray as we turn to God's word together. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look at this very familiar incident in the life of Jesus, that you will speak to us again and encourage us and challenge us and teach us, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Zacchaeus was very serious in his search for Jesus. He was determined to see who Jesus was. He had maybe heard about him from others. We don't really know what he knew about Jesus, but of course there was a big crowd as always. When anywhere Jesus went, there was a big crowd of people. And as he passed through Jericho, Zacchaeus was there trying to see, but no surprise that nobody would let him through. He couldn't see because he was small. He couldn't see because of the crowd. And a small child or a small popular person might have been ushered through to the front, but Zacchaeus was kept well back out of the road. He was a chief tax collector. He was very rich. He was dishonest. And he was despised. The people knew that he was only rich because he was taking too much money from them. I read one commentator who said that they thought of him as a collaborator and a crook. He was the last person that you would make way for. And people also thought that he was the last person Jesus would want to see. They probably were saying to him, "Zacchaeus, Jesus wouldn't want to see you anyway. Why are you trying to get through here? We have no interest in the likes of you." But he was determined to see Jesus, and he clambered up a tree, a sycamore fig tree, to get a better view. And we sort of maybe missed the comedy of that. This, a very important government official, clambering up a tree, gathering his robe up around him, clambering up a tree, and maybe with some of the local children who'd be up there looking to see what was going on. And here he was, trying to get a better view of Jesus. Imagine some dignitary passing through Belfast and some civil servant or bank manager or whatever scuttling up a tree near the City Hall there to get a better view. And people look and say, what's going on? People would have seen Zacchaeus there and laughed and thought, look at Zacchaeus up there, what's he doing? But he was absolutely determined to find out more about Jesus. Maybe he was secretly unhappy with his life. Maybe he was just curious. We really don't know. We don't know what it was that motivated Zacchaeus to go to such lengths to see this man, Jesus, as he passed through. But he knew something about Jesus, and he wanted to know more. And so off he went in search of Jesus. He was determined to find out more about this man. He wasn't going to be put off by the opposition of the crowd. He wasn't going to be put off by circumstances. He wasn't going to be put off by the fact that he was unpopular or he was too small or any of those things. He was determined to see Jesus. Today, people search for answers in all sorts of places, mostly the wrong places. They look in the wrong directions. They go to all sorts of spiritual gurus and self-help manuals and try to find help with their situation in one way or another. Or they may look to wealth or their career or their appearance or status or whatever to give them fulfillment, to give them meaning in life, to make their life worthwhile. And yet we know that the only answer is Jesus, the only answer to people's emptiness, the only answer to people's questions, the only answer to people's needs is Jesus. He's the only one who can meet their deepest need, the need for forgiveness, the need for freedom from guilt, the need to be set free from all that holds them. I heard someone say recently, false gods promise what only the true God can provide. False gods promise what only the true God can provide. People seek all sorts of help in all sorts of ways. Zacchaeus could have gone here, there, anywhere to find a bit of help, but he came to look for Jesus. We run the Christianity course every so often in Hollywood, and we really try to answer three questions. Who is Jesus? Why did he come and why did he die? And then what does it mean to follow him? And that's really, those are the key questions to find out about Jesus. Those are the key things that we all need to ask. Who was Jesus? Why did he come and die? And what does it mean to follow him? If you're here today and you'd like to find out more about Jesus, maybe you've never really got to know this man. Maybe you know something about Jesus. Well, come and speak to Aaron or I at the end of the service. Be very happy to help you find out a bit more, direct you to where you can find out a bit more about Jesus. But Zacchaeus was absolutely determined to find out more about Jesus. And if that's you today, then don't hesitate. Don't let anything get in your way. Zacchaeus let nothing get in his way. He was determined to find out something more about this man that he had heard something about. And then secondly, Zacchaeus was very prompt in his response to Jesus. He came down at once when Jesus called him. He might have hesitated. He might have been embarrassed because Jesus had spotted him in the midst of the crowd. He came down very quickly. When I was, I think, in primary school, me and a few friends climbed up this tree in Dundonald. I have no idea why, I can't remember, because we were boys and because it was a tree, and that's what you do. And one of my friends fell from quite high in the tree, fell right down, landed on the ground, gave us all a scare as we scrambled down to see was he all right. He went on to play rugby for Ireland, didn't do him a bit of harm. But Zacchaeus didn't come down quite that quickly. But he came down pretty quickly. When Jesus called him, he came straight down, and he discovered that Jesus was actually looking for him. He had gone out and gone to great lengths to get up the tree, but Jesus all the time was in control. He didn't just happen up on that tree. Of all the way along his route in Jerusalem, Jesus went over deliberately and spoke to Zacchaeus, and he called him by name. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down, because I want to come around to your house." I wonder what Zacchaeus thought. Was he surprised? And we know that Jesus was God's son. Of course, he knew who Zacchaeus was, but from Zacchaeus' point of view, was he surprised? Did he think, somebody must have told him my name? And if they told Jesus my name, what else have they told me? Because Zacchaeus wouldn't have a great reputation. What else does he know about me? What does this man passing by know? If he knows my name, what else does he know about me? But he didn't run away. He didn't fade away. He didn't make excuses. He didn't ask for time to consider. He didn't say, well, no, we'll be, you know, lunch is all prepared already or whatever. He came straight down and took Jesus home. We don't know anything about Zacchaeus, whether he's married, whether he came back home for a meal instead of brought someone home. Who is it? Oh, that's that guy Jesus he's been passing through. We don't know. But he went home with Jesus and invited Jesus to his house. He didn't worry about what others may think. Others were grumbling and saying, what's Jesus going with Zacchaeus for? Zacchaeus was just delighted to have been found by Jesus, to have been spotted by him. Jesus called and he responded. You know, it can be very dangerous to delay. If Jesus calls, it can be very dangerous to make excuses if Jesus calls you. The moment may pass. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to the cross. He would never pass through Jericho again. Zacchaeus would never get a chance to see Jesus again. And he responded to that one opportunity. Jesus called him, and he responded. He responded positively and promptly and publicly. He didn't care who saw. He decided that he would follow, go with Jesus at this point to see what he had to say. If Jesus calls, we need to respond. If Jesus calls you, if Jesus has sought you out and has spoken to you through something you've read or something someone at work has said to you or something you've heard in church or wherever, then it's a very dangerous thing to ignore that. Because if Jesus calls you, that demands a response. Sometimes people hear something about Jesus and they're interested, but something prevents them finding out more. And they think of their friends or they think of what it would mean to follow him, and they let the moment pass. And they don't know if that moment will ever come again. When Jesus calls, we need to respond. Zacchaeus was prompt in his response. He went looking for Jesus, and when Jesus called to him, he responded immediately. And he invited Jesus round to his house for a meal. And Zacchaeus was completely changed by that meeting with Jesus. We assume here that from verse 8 and onwards refer to the time after he's been for a meal with Jesus. Must have gone to his house, invited Jesus round, and Jesus must have explained to Zacchaeus why they reclined round the table having their meal. Jesus must have explained why he came. He must have explained what it meant to follow him. He must have explained about Zacchaeus' need for salvation, need for forgiveness, need to be set free from the life that he was living. Because in verse 8, we read that Zacchaeus stood up. So that would suggest that they were maybe reclining around the table, and Zacchaeus understood, and he responded, and he stood up. Jesus was able to say then, verse 9, we read, "Today salvation has come to this house." Zacchaeus realized and responded to Jesus. It was a genuine conversion. He realized that his life was all wrong. He realized that his lifestyle wasn't acceptable to God, his cheating and his swindling people and his dishonesty and his love of money. And there's a genuine conversion because it was shown immediately in a determination to change. It wasn't just a change of words. There was a change of words. Look in verse 8, he says, "Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord.'" He calls Jesus Lord. This person that he had a surpassing interest in as he walked through the streets, this nomadic preacher, this chief tax collector suddenly calls him Lord. He realizes that Jesus has the right to be Lord of his life. And it's not just words, but his behaviour's changed. He showed a real change of heart there. Look, he'd previously loved money, he'd been greedy, he'd been ruled by the love of money, and now he's generous, now he's giving, now he's going to respond. He's going to work honestly from now on. He's going to return four times what he's taken dishonestly from anyone. He says, "If I've swindled anyone," he knew he'd swindled loads of people in Jericho, "if I've taken money dishonestly, I pay back four times what I've taken, and I give away half of my ill-gotten wealth to the poor. Half of what I got dishonestly, I'm going to give it away. All of my wealth that I've made." And true repentance was seen in a changed life. His life changed. Not just a quick prayer. Sometimes we can respond, people can respond sadly in maybe a big gospel campaign or feeling emotional in somewhere or other, carried along by the emotional event. And they do make a commitment, which is genuine at the time, but has no real impact on their lives. And a few months later, or a year later, we see no difference. It was just a spur of the moment, not thought through decision. But Zacchaeus has heard about Jesus. He's heard what it is to follow Jesus. He's responded, and his life has changed. Not just in admitting that Jesus is Lord and claiming him as Lord, but in changing his life, saying, "I'm going to follow Jesus from now on." Things change. Jesus now came first. He called Jesus Lord, and he put Jesus first in his life. John Stott says that a moment of commitment leads to a lifetime of adjustment. A moment of commitment leads to a lifetime of adjustment. When we commit to Jesus as Savior, we accept our guilt and our sin and our need to turn to him. That leads to a life of trying to live in a way that honors him, putting behind us things from our former life, trying to live in a way that is changed, that is different. Zacchaeus is in stark contrast to the young man whom Jesus met. We read about him in the previous chapter of Luke. The rich young man, rich young ruler, sometimes he's described as. He came to Jesus, and Jesus pointed out to him. He asked what he had to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus said, "Well, come and follow me. Before you do that, you're going to have to give away a lot of money. that you have, because money is your God. Money is what drives you. And unless you give that money away, you're never going to really be a follower of mine. And in contrast is the case, that young man went away sad. His money meant too much for him. Money really was his God. He was driven by it. He was governed by it, dominated by it. And he wasn't willing to give it up to follow Jesus. You know, there can be people today who have something that they just can't give up. They just won't give up. A lifestyle, a habit, a behavior, friends, whatever. And they say, no, following Jesus would be too costly. That's what happened in this young man's case. He went away sad. I'm sure Jesus was sad too, because we read in the Bible that Jesus loved him. He felt sorry for him. He felt compassion for him. He came to die for such as him. But this young man went away sad. And that prompted Jesus to say, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Not that rich people in particular have difficulty entering the kingdom of God, but because that wealth was holding this young man tight, he found it very hard to give it up. We all have things that we hold tightly to that are hard to give up. But Jesus then went on when he was questioned. People said to him, well, who can be saved then? And Jesus said, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Zacchaeus was the most unlikely convert. He was rich, dishonest, despised. He was a pariah in society. He was the last person you would expect to turn to Jesus. The people thought of him as a sinner. They said, why is Jesus going to be the guest of a sinner? We're all sinners. We are all sinners. But they could see that Zacchaeus' life was completely wrong. And Jesus explains, verse 10 there, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus said, I came for people like Zacchaeus. That's why I've come. I've come for those who have no other way of being saved, those whose lives are in a mess, those who need salvation. And of all the people Jesus saw that day, of all the people he saw as he passed through Jericho and all the crowds coming to see him through, he called Zacchaeus by name. He called the tax collector. He didn't just stumble upon him by chance. He didn't just happen to go past the tree and think, oh, who's that up there? He went deliberately and called to Zacchaeus. Interestingly, in the previous chapter, again, chapter 18 of Luke's Gospel, Jesus tells the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector, almost preparing the way for this passage. Remember, the Pharisee and the tax collector went in to worship God, and the Pharisee was praying, thank you, God, that I'm not like other men, and particularly not like this tax collector. And Jesus makes the contrast, and immediately, in just a short time later, here he is leading a tax collector to faith in himself. To follow Jesus, we have to admit we're lost. To follow Jesus, we have to admit that we're lost. And many religious people, like the Pharisee there, wouldn't acknowledge they were lost, so they didn't follow Jesus. They wouldn't acknowledge any need. They thought they were acceptable to God on account of their good, respectable, religious, upright lives. That's why that tax collector would pray, thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. Sorry, that's why the Pharisee would pray, thank you, that I'm not like other men, not especially not like this tax collector. Lord, you wouldn't want to associate with people like him. And he's the very one out of all the crowd that Jesus called, went to his house, explained the gospel, led him to faith. I think it was Billy Graham who said that before you can persuade someone that they need to be saved, you have to persuade them that they're lost. And that's probably the problem with many of the folk that you and I rub shoulders with day by day. They have no sense of being lost. They have no sense that they need a Savior. They are probably decent, good, upright citizens. No sense that their sin separates them from a holy God. And if you have friends or colleagues that you're speaking to, that you're trying to witness to, that you're trying to influence, you need to pray that God will open their eyes to see their spiritual lostness. Zacchaeus realized that he needed help. Zacchaeus came seeking Jesus. He realized that his life wasn't as it should be. And he realized that he was lost. We must pray that people will see that they're lost. Good, ordinary, decent people, like this Pharisee who's praying, who devoted his whole life to serving God, but thought that he could rely on his own righteousness rather than realizing that before God he was lost. I wonder would something prevent you from following Jesus today? I wonder, would you worry about what people might say? Worried about something you'd have to give up? Worried your lifestyle might have to change? Maybe you're here today and you've thought, well, I'm okay. My life's fine. Like that Pharisee, I'm upright, I'm honest, I'm not certainly not like Zacchaeus, I'm not dishonest, I'm honest in my business and my work, I look out for my neighbours. Maybe think, do I really need salvation? If Jesus is calling you today, don't delay. If Jesus calls you, don't delay. Respond to him urgently. Respond to him like Zacchaeus. No one is so bad that they can't be saved. If you're here today and think, well, Jesus wouldn't be interested in the likes of me, no one is so bad that they can't be saved. And no one is so good that they don't need to be saved. We're all lost. We're all sinful. And Jesus came to offer salvation to all who would respond to him in faith. If you're a believer today, as many of us are, I wonder, do our lives reflect that change which has taken place? I wonder, do our lives, is there a change between what we were and what we are? Are we different to what we were before we were Christians? Zacchaeus' life changed. It was like chalk and cheese. His life changed overnight if he went through with all that he promised. His life changed radically. People would have seen a completely different Zacchaeus over the next weeks and months. I wonder, is your life different? Do people in your office or people in your street or your friends, do they see something different about you? Do they see that you're different to what you were than you before? Do they see that you're different to other people? Are we different? Has our conversion, has our faith, has our putting our trust in Jesus affected our lives? Or do we still tend to cling to those things which would keep us away from God? Those things which would affect our faith, like the rich man with his money. Do we tend to cling to those things that we know we should have given up? Things that come between us and God. Things which are in themselves God's. Anything that takes God's place. Anything that challenges God for our attention is becoming a God to us. I wonder, have our lives really changed? False gods can be wealth and career and family and reputation and so on. So many things that we can put first. Zacchaeus said, all of that is going to change. I'm going to put my trust in you. I wonder, are there steps that you need to take to follow Jesus as Lord? Are there steps that you need to take, if you're already a Christian, to make sure your life is different from what it was before, with God's help to live for him? A commitment, a conversion decision at some point in our lives has to be backed up by a changed life that people can see that Jesus is not just Savior, but is Lord. John Newton was well known to us all, of course. He was a naval officer who then became the captain of a slave trading ship, and people were essentially kidnapped, taken from African countries to America to work on the cotton plantations and the sugar plantations and so on, and he was quite notorious. And he was dramatically and wonderfully converted, came to faith in Christ. And his life changed. And, of course, he wrote the hymn we all know, Amazing Grace. He became a Church of England minister. And in his old age, he said this, "Although my memory's fading, I remember two things very clearly. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Saviour. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Saviour." And he wrote that hymn, probably one of the best known hymns in the English language, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's how he described himself. That's probably how Zacchaeus would have described himself. John Newton could sing that song. Zacchaeus could certainly have sung it, had it been around when he was on earth. And we're going to sing it. We're going to sing it right now as our musicians come again to lead us. In the words of that old hymn, which just speak of the God who came and through his son gave his life so that sinful people like Zacchaeus and you and me could be saved, could be set free from our sin and could live a new life, not just now, but for eternity with our Lord and Saviour. We're going to sing and then we're going to come to the Lord's table.